Welcome everyone to Rec Radio, episode 48. We've got the one and only Trading Lord on here.
Hello guys.
Hey, welcome. We're here with Mando. Unfortunately, our beloved keyboard monkey has a flight delay, so he's literally boarding a plane right now on a connection, so he's unable to make it today. No big loss, to be honest with you, but we're officially a man down. I think Michael, you're muted, or
I'm here. Can you hear me?
You hear me now. Perfect. Yeah. All right.
No loss for KBM, man. Like, keep just be bearish on this on the stream. I don't think we need that energy right now. We've got three bulls here, so I think that's a, yeah, a good place
this
to
gonna
be.
It's going to be a it's going to be a dangerous show. Like, if you're coming to the show, you're
like... bulls, but
exactly.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say thank you very much for having me, guys. It's an absolute honor. I'm a big fan of both of you guys. You guys are doing very, very cool things. So yeah, as of course, as soon as you guys asked me to come on, there was no doubt in my mind to show face, and yeah, so now we're here.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks a lot for being here. It's going to be a good show. So just quickly, I'll intro the sponsor and give a couple of bits and pieces on the show. So as you guys know, the show is sponsored by Rollbit, so be sure to check out rollbit.com for all your degenerate needs out there. We will have two codes to give away during the show. The first code is, I always forget the codes. First code is trading3573. Trading3573 is the first code. We'll give the second code out at the end as well. And then as usual, we'll do the NFT loot box bin. I think we put in some of your project in there as well, Trading Lord. So it'll be a good little
gathering spin
at the end.
That is cool.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we live stream this show every week on Twitter, so make sure you're following RetRadio_ for all the latest updates. If you can't watch the show live, it's all on YouTube. Just search RetRadio on YouTube. If you don't want to see our faces, just go on Spotify. Everything should be on there. And I think we're now on Instagram and TikTok. So
how many people do you have live streaming working for you guys simultaneously?
We have one guy. We have the incredible John who does it all now. So we have one mastermind behind it all.
And there needs a race. That's all I know.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we're out there. So please give us some love and support whenever you can. And that's it. That's all the boring stuff out of the way. So I don't know, where do we start? Let's start with this. Who is Trading Lord? Like, how did you get into crypto? Where do you start in the space? How do you end up where you are right now?
Well, it's been a while, to be honest. I got into crypto pretty randomly by a dude in high school who was wearing like a Donald Make America Great Again Donald Trump cap. So I was a little intrigued. And in an economics class, suddenly, you know, we got into a discussion, and then later on, he just came up to me and he was like, yo, what do you think about Bitcoin? And it was just by the time where I started my first little company, little drop shipping in 2016, before all the gurus could have fucking made gazillions selling courses, but got into the wrong industry, I can tell you that much. But so I had this discussion with this guy, and he obviously seemed extremely smart to me. And then he just asked me like, yo, do you have Bitcoin exposure? What do you think about Bitcoin? And I was like, yo, you can buy drugs with it on Silk Road, I suppose. And then he looked at me and he's like, ah, so you're not as smart as I thought. And that kind of, you know, got me hurt a little. So I went home, did my research, and fell down the rabbit hole ever since. And yeah, stuck around through the bear markets. So 2017 was my first bear market. I was very, very young. Committed all the mistakes someone can commit, from, you know, getting properly rug pulled to just gazillion liquidations. But yeah, you know, by the end of 2020, I would say I was broke again. No, by the beginning of 2020, then the COVID thing. And then, you know, you just continuously get into these boom and bust cycles of fuck, I made it, to oops, I just found out another mistake, how I can lose $1 million. So yeah, and now 2023, we somehow secured somewhat enough knowledge to prevent us from going back to zero, but never say never. So we're still hanging around.
Wait, so is this your second or third crypto cycle?
I think third.
So you feel like, yeah, you're like prepared for this one and learn from the mistakes of the other stuff, and like,
yeah. To be honest, yes, I was extremely bullish at the bottom, and that was the reason I founded Candy Collective, which now turned into Collective.io, which is the only project I properly run or associate myself to with all my heart. It's more just like an extension of my Discord community. I was just thinking of how you can find innovative ways to integrate NFTs with loyalty systems and then combine them, and, you know, give people the opportunity to get the access to things that I get access to. I get all the pre-seed stuff. I get all the insider information, as you call it. With the SEC.
He's
so much
watching. Love that guy, the SEC.
I'm in Dubai. I'm hanging around. I'm not American either. No, I'm but
what's this LFC system?
Let's change the topic. No, I just felt like there's a need to have, I would say, a crypto influencer, even though I don't like the term at all, that kind of genuinely tries to push down the value from, you know, the 0.1% who gets it all shoved up their ass trying to find ways to, you know, to get it to the normie guy. So what we're doing now is we're, by holding the NFT, you get points, and these points you can redeem in our shop for whitelists, for free NFTs, for coins, for pre-seed investment stuff that you would usually not get. So I put my neck on the line, I take these safts, and I put part of the saft aside for the collective, so that my boys who've been loyal to me, and girls who've been loyal to me for many years, can get a piece of the pie as well. So that's what I'm working on currently. I do advise a few projects, but I'm pretty picky when it comes to these things. What else? Yeah, I do still obviously trade, mostly with my own funds, but there is a few things in the pipeline to open up some bigger funds in the UE. And besides that, I just box as a side quest. I'm the WBC crypto champ as of now, and I hope that's going to stay that way. On the 24th November, there is the next title fight, and OSF is also on the card, so all the boys are winning. That's a little intro of who I am and what I do.
Awesome.
I was just gonna say, how did you get into all the boxing stuff? Like, when did this all start? Because now you're kind of the headline act 2 years in a row on this boxing thing, right? So when did that
happen? Obviously the GOAT Rookie is a good friend of mine. And the last year when they asked me to, they didn't ask me to headline in the beginning, but then somehow things escalated a little because some of my friends took up serious, serious bets against Ponzi Traders site. And then at that point, and those were all good friends, and they were just like, fuck you, my boy's going to win. No, even though they were all friends, obviously. They were like, I throw in six figures, no, 100 bands here, shake my hands. Shook hands, and those guys, like, they didn't joke. So there was like multiple six figure bets on the line, and that was the moment I was looking my friends in the eye, and I'm like, okay, I really, really got to put in the work. And then it kind of just snowballed from there once the organizers understood, okay, these guys are likely putting a little more work in it than the other guys. We just went all in on it, and then, you know, I think we did a pretty good job, Ponzi and myself, from there.
Well done, OSF. Your sixth line on the undercard here. That's a solid showing.
I'm not the main attraction here for sure.
We're getting. I mean, every year you just rank up a couple. Run up the ladder, easy game. Next year you're gonna be undercard for sure.
But you guys had a. I watched your guys' fight from last year. You guys had a decent fight because, I mean, some of the fights on this are pretty, like, you know, peak guys are out of shape and they blow out after one round of 30 seconds. But you guys kind of went four rounds and it was like pretty intense, and I know I think we're training for 6 months or so. Yeah, it was good. It was like a legit fight. It was pretty impressive, I thought.
Yeah, because there's also something I unfortunately have to tell you straight up. The moment you step in that ring, my brother, the adrenaline dump is going to take you off your socks. But so therefore, just breathe, take it easy. If you after the first round, I would say second and third should be easier. So just keep it easy in the first one. And if the other guy starts to swing, you just swing back, and then there's no way out of it.
You just got to go in and swing and just expect to get hit. I think that's what I say. So how do you feel against Crown? Like, Crown's, because he's a pretty big dude, huh? Like,
he's a big dude. I mean, I've seen him in real life, but you know, I'm always say these, and my friends always laugh. I'm very much middle curve, right? I don't consider myself very, very smart. I'm not super dumb, but I'm just the guy in the middle who, after years and years of listening to very smart people, kind of starts to understand who got his shit figured out or not. But I'm also, one thing I am good at is understanding people, feeling the vibes, what's going on. And I can tell you straight up, Crown is an absolute kind guy, super, super nice. Nothing again. I don't know him personally. I've just seen him a couple times now with all the things.
Yeah.
I don't think he got the dog in him. I do got the dog in me. So long story short, I am very, very confident in my abilities. So yeah, but it's going to be fun. I mean, I would love for him to surprise me and to absolutely fucking rock me. But yeah, I'm rather he's crazy big.
You guys are like the same height, but I guess he's heavier. But
yeah. He's much heavier. And I think from here, I could go up even 2 kg more, so I don't need to cut at all. And I think he has to cut a little. I'm not sure how much that's going to affect the overall fight. Obviously, there's no drug testing, so good on him for that.
Shots fired.
I told him straight up.
He has a lot of hair on him. I'll give him that. Like,
I asked for two things, but I just knew like I can't be bothered enough to like really push for it. I could ask if he could shave his shoulders, because I don't want to clinch with a bear. And second of all, I asked if they can do drug tests, and they don't want to do it. And it's fine. Like, if you've been doing steroids a year from now or 5 months from now, it's fine. It's very obvious. But lying to my face multiple times, saying, no, I cannot do this because some other substances, you know, we're not fucking yokels, you know, just it's fine, but don't lie to me. So that was the moment I knew, okay, I'm just going to take his head off, because he's been lying multiple times into my face, and that's something I don't appreciate that much.
Man, I'm looking forward to watching that fight. I guess I'll be there live.
You got like the Eubank versus Ben scenario in my eyes. Like the pretty kind of, you know, well dressed, and then you've got this fucking steroid using animal. it's gonna be a fun fight, I think.
Yeah, for sure. The good thing is Shuffle is gonna announce, I think, next week that they're gonna have proper odds. You know, for the first time, because all the previous years liquidity was absolute ass, and I think this year, because he's got a very loyal community, so I'm sure I could take some shekels from their liquidity side of things. I'm heavily gonna bet on myself, like literally all in. So
yeah,
no financial advice on this.
Awesome, trip. Wow, man, that's gonna be 24th of November, Crypto Fight Night 3. I think it's going to be streamed for free, but if anyone's in Dubai, definitely got to come and check it out. I think it's going to be a good one. I'll be on the card too. Not the main event, but I'll be on there.
We're entering the same ring, the same stage. You're going to feel the same, because still you're maybe number six, but there's already what, 4 or 5 or 6 fights before you. So the thing is going to be packed. Don't you worry about it. You will have your time to shine, my friend.
Looking forward to it. But so, let's talk about markets. Let's talk about trading and markets. And I think I've been following your timeline for the past few weeks and months, I guess now. And you're definitely one of the more bullish people on the timeline. It's been a good call and a good trade, obviously, for the last few weeks. But where do you see things here? Like, we're at a point now where, you know, Bitcoin seems to have settled above, you know, around or above 35K. Ether's kind of struggling to like breakout above 1900. I saw your comments on ETH BTC and stuff, and we have our views on that as well. But you know, what do you think is the lay of the land here right now, as we're about 73 days away from the final deadline for the Bitcoin approval?
I think it's less now. I think it's 65-ish or something. No, I think whatever. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it is around 65. What I think is, most people do not have the skill to play this the way they want to play it. And I've been making the same mistakes a fucking gazillion times as well. So the facts are the following. The ETF is very, at this point, I think everyone who's kind of like listening behind the scenes and seeing the very, very smart ex-Wall Street lawyers and the guys who are like very much into all these ETF side of things or whatever. I think it is fairly clear at this point that we're going to have an ETF before Christmas, or let's say 10th of January, whatever it might be. So we have 65 days. Where out of the blue, the news will hit. And we've seen what happened with the fake Cointelegraph news, where we had a 4K candle in a matter of 15 minutes. The moment this is approved, and the moment this is confirmed, and the moment every single big Wall Street bank, doesn't matter if it's BlackRock ETF, BlackRock Fidelity, or whatever the names is, once these guys start to really ramp up their marketing machines and tell all their guys that they need to really start, you know, get the word out, you know, the first Bitcoin spot ETFs are out. I think people are still vastly underestimating the impact of it. So, and I'm not going to be like a stupid bull just saying, you know, up, 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 up. No, but I do think that it is fairly likely that we go much higher before or around until Christmas. And then we're going to have, I would say, a month or two where we cool off a little into the halving. And then I would think we mimic more or less the previous halving price action, where we just, you know, slowly but gradually just increase towards six figures Bitcoin.
It's interesting you say that. I feel like it's consensus that a lot of people think we will have some kind of like cooling off period, whether that's like the day after the headline, whether it's a couple of months after it. But people are expecting some kind of a pullback or some kind of a sell the news event or some kind of like receding in price action. But I think the mistake people make to that, and we're just going to, by the way, if anyone's listening to this show, there's going to be an ultra bullish show. I'm just saying out there, there's no KBM to piss on our parade. So, but you know, like you could, in my opinion, you could have something where it's like, yeah, you get the headline, Bitcoin itself can like jump 10-15%. And then the pullback is like 5 or 7%, but the level it pulls back to is still above where we are now. Like that's kind of
100%.
I personally view it. So it's just like,
keep in mind, just as a little note, the Binance COG thing is still not out of the way, right? And I think, God wants it. I suspect it's going to be very, very well timed in a sense of trying to take as many people out before we have, let's say, a little more of a smooth sailing proper uptrend, even though this one has been, you know, fairly consistent with this consistent TWAP, just, you know, no, barely any pullbacks. Everyone who's sidelined is fucking crying. The timeline overall, I don't feel like people are crazy, crazy bullish. I don't think people made a shit ton of money in the past 2-3 months. So I do think we have higher to go, especially with the way Ethereum is shaping up. I was texting Keyboard Monkey before the stream. I was like, bro, you know that Ethereum is literally going to have the $150 candle during the stream. And he was like, yeah, bro, we're going to be at 2100, but I have a fucking plane to catch or some shit. And I was like, bro, okay, so you're going to let me get liquidated on stream by myself. Nice. I do generally think that over the next 2-3 weeks, Ethereum is seriously going to catch up. I have never, ever, no, maybe once. When I bought Ethereum at like $7 or $8, that was the last time I've seen that people were that bearish on Ethereum. You know, back then they were like, yeah, Vitalik Buterin is just dumping all his ICO coins or whatever it might be, like ridiculous stuff. And right now, people are generally getting angry at you if you say Ethereum is going to go to $10,000. 6 months ago, a year ago, the smartest people I've ever spoken to, everyone agrees, yes, Ethereum is the generational play. If you really want to make generational wealth over the next 4 years, you put all your net worth in Ethereum. It's literally the easiest bet you can take. And now suddenly everyone is just going crazy saying Ethereum is the biggest shitcoin. And I understand that there's a point and there's a few things with the Ethereum, with the development and, you know, the fragmentation of the liquidity, and there's a million layer twos and it's still fucking expensive to use it. I understand if I would probably come in as a young trading lord, 16 years old, $200 to my name, what am I going to do? I might go get one shitcoin with $150, make one swap. I can't swap three more times because I'm going to be broke. So I have to literally risk it all on one card, put all my $200 into one shitcoin and hope that's the one. So, but if I go over to Solana, if I go over to, in my opinion, also Injective, which is an interesting topic we can briefly talk about later, or other new up-and-coming layer ones that actually also Monad, just a little side thing, also super interesting, you know, just new layer ones with with many, many transactions per second, these will be much, much, much cheaper and much easier to use for someone who has $500, $2,000 in crypto. So am I bearish on Ethereum? A little more than I was a year ago, I would say, just because the way things have shaped or like the way things are kind of like heading right now in the direction with just the core issues that somehow don't get fixed. You know, we had a long bear market now where they could have really done some serious progress. And I am, again, I'm a fucking middle curve yokel. I have no idea when it comes to the technicalities, but I'm just a little worried that after all these years, like fucking, I think I've been owning Ethereum now for 7 years and we're still having serious, serious, serious issues. Literally, how many more bull markets do we need? How much more time do we need? What is going on? So, and I've been speaking with a very prominent crypto figure. I'm not going to mention his name. And his words were, I sold all my Ethereum. The developers have lost the plot.
Wow.
And that is wild. And it is kind of true to an extent. So, of course, I'm bullish. Of course, Ethereum will remain the universal settlement layer for now. But, you know, with the next wave and the next wave, if it continues to lose relevancy, and at one point, you know, we've seen it previously, you know, the Solana season. Every L1 that got planted with, let's say, $50 million liquidity had their little season. It doesn't matter if they're called Avalanche or Near, all mumbo jumbo, all obviously going to zero because there was no, it was all fabricated attention, let's say, to for a limited period of time. But I'm just saying, like, at one point, if these core problems continue to be there, I would understand that Solana and other layer ones would take a bigger market share of the overall ecosystem.
It definitely seems to be a dominating theme, because I agree, like, I've only been in the space for about 2.5 years, but in the last 3 months, I've never seen that much FUD on Ethereum when it's literally been one of the greatest things in crypto ever for most of the time I've been here. So there's been a lot of that, which kind of makes me feel like I want to fade it, because I think people maybe are more frustrated by price action. But
oh no, I'm full on max long Ethereum.
I hear you.
I'm so confused. I'm so confused by what you just said and what you your position. I'm like, okay.
The thing is this: the technical problems that we're all facing. I can't tell the, you know, I don't know the solution. No one, 99.99% of the people don't know the solution. What I am pretty certain of is Ethereum is still going to catch a bit. Ethereum is still the little darling of Wall Street and will act as an even, let's say, a beta play on Bitcoin, and I'm very certain of that. But I'm just saying, me personally, as a core deep down crypto guy, I'm just kind of disappointed by the way things work right now, because after all these years, it's still going to work.
It's just the nature of tech, really, right? Like, just something new will always come on, which is better than the last thing. Like, Bitcoin, when it first came out, probably didn't see Ethereum coming. And then there were questions about, you know, block size and let's say long-term supply. And then Ethereum came about. And now Ethereum's starting to maybe just some things in the architecture just seem a little bit dated now, or there may have been better ways to do it. And so the path forward for Ethereum is basically like, right, you can do all the new tech stuff, but on like an L2. So like we can do a Solana style L2 on Ethereum. Ethereum just becomes the settlement layer essentially for kind of, let's say, the faster ways or different ways of doing things. I think that's probably the best thing for ETH, like to actually change some of the L2.
Is it easy enough for a baboon who just comes in? If he's in Solana, he's in Solana and he's covered all the bases. He doesn't need to do any bridging. People are so afraid by these things, and I do understand them. If I have to bridge from mainnet to a layer two, and then, you know, just to do, let's say, to buy one NFT, which is on this L2, but then I want to provide liquidity on a different one and I want to get some yield on a different, it is, unless they have like a proper universal, super easy to use bridge in between these things. And again, you know, I'm not very, very, very techy, but I'm just saying, I feel the whole fragmentation of the whole Ethereum ecosystem right now is really, really hurting and kind of tough to understand for newcomers. So I do understand. And then if you ever, like, some of the friends I have, they are kind of like Solana native. These guys got into crypto during the crazy little Solana run where they, you know, just all the NFTs did it times 100, crazy, crazy stuff. And then they bridged back to Ethereum. They were like, what the, like, this is just like going from a MacBook to an old computer. This is shit. Everything is expensive, slow, and it sucks. You know, so it's tough at one point to kind of like defend Ethereum when I understand these guys' perception of things, because it is kind of true to an extent. But I,
one thing I would say about just to say about that though is, like, and I'm someone who also has like noticed that Ethereum has got like quite big holes right now. I think the main thing is it outperformed so much during the kind of bear market, but then now it's sitting at $220 billion market cap, and like some of these other L1s, they got beaten up so badly in this bear market, right? They're down like 90, they were down 90, 95%, that just small changes in applications, small changes in, I don't know, things like you say, speed, like they can suddenly seem like, oh, well, this is just an easier chain to use. I would say that, like, even with, if you look at Sol, right, like right now people are getting very bullish on it. It's got nowhere near the same amount of load that it did like last year. If you look at total number of addresses, TVL, number of transactions, they're all down about 50 to 75% this time last year. And yet the price is higher now than this time it was last year. And we saw a load of times over that period that, you know, Solana would break, it would go down due to like various different. So we're not like, let's see how Solana performs when the TVL is up by, you know, 100%, when the number of transactions up by 100% number of users. Because if it does then start to go down again, and we see some of the issues that you saw before, it's not really solving anything. It's just solving for things when there's not many people using the chain, essentially. And that looks really good right now because no one's really doing that much. Applications haven't really gone crazy. Like, they've all kind of slowed down. So they look good. But Solana, like, yeah, it's looking really good, but the price is higher, even though every single metric essentially is down by a very, very big amount. And I'm someone who's bullish on Solana, but that is a big, big blind spot for people who like it.
I think what you said, Trading Lord, about Ethereum still being one of like the darlings of Wall Street, whatever, I think that's an important point because, yeah, like, I agree with all the existing and outstanding tech limitations on ETH, but, you know, if you're, most of us here are like here trying to trade the stuff or invest in stuff to make money. And I think the one thing that Ethereum has that nothing else has apart from Bitcoin right now is spot ETF applications. And there are four outstanding spot ETF applications on ETH. From one is Grayscale's conversion, one is ARK, which is Cathie Wood's, that's the closest deadline as well for Bitcoin. And you have Invesco, Galaxy, and VanEck. So, you know, all you need, for me, in my opinion, all you need for the ETH Bitcoin ratio to correct back up towards 0.06 is basically just one headline, which is BlackRock applies for spot ETH ETF. And that headline is basically 100% more likely than BlackRock applies for Solana ETF, whatever. And just like, you know, I just think those things aren't to be faded. And, you know, suddenly when you get that, right, you get that headline, if BlackRock are investing, all these guys investing, then they're like, cool, let's fucking pump more money into this and like fix all these development issues. And then it becomes a different game, right? So I think that's just like a different angle that, at least that's how I'm looking at it. And maybe I'm just a bit of an Ethereum maxi. And that's the first thing that I started in the space and was going to have some sentimental value to it myself. But I think that's the thing that, and some people do talk about it, but I just think not enough people are like thinking about it or acting on it. And I think when you get that Bitcoin approval, the next thing people are going to be like, okay, when's the ETH one? And I think that day the Bitcoin one gets approval will be like the day when alts actually start to rally, rather than like Bitcoin getting more dominance. But that's just...
I was reading a tweet that was kind of interesting because I feel like at this point, new market participants, they kind of skip the Ethereum path in the sense of usually, you know, you come into crypto because you heard about Bitcoin somehow, and then you're like, yo, there's more to it. Ethereum, there's, you know, decentralized applications, crazy, interesting, blah, blah, blah. And then you get into these good old shitcoins. I feel like at this point, you get into crypto because, you know, you saw a random ass flyer somewhere of some shitcoin, and then you not really go through like the rabbit hole in a sense of appreciating Bitcoin, understanding decentralization as a whole, and then, wow, there's Ethereum, there's so many things you can do, and then you get to shitcoin. So I just feel like at this point, Ethereum is kind of skipped a little in this procedure. But yeah, nevertheless, I mean, you know, the big boys are accumulating Ethereum, and as you said, the spot Ethereum ETF is then again just gonna change the game completely. But I think we all have to agree, like, prices are going to go up ridiculously high in 2024. And I kid you not, and I hang out with Rookie way too much, and this man is just, and oh, we God. Have to
hang out with Rookie now.
Rookie,
I was friends with you, you both, like, you must just hate that group chat, right? KBM's so bearish. In any group chat I'm in, KBM is so bearish, and he's in one with you and Rookie where you're just talking about just big green cat.
I swear to God, there's like a possibility. I would say something now. For example, Injective is what? It rallied from, I think, like $3 to like 15 right now. Yeah. Everyone's like, fuck, Injective, there is no stop, blah, blah, blah. This shit can be like $150 in March. 150, 10x from here. I kid you not. A couple $1 billion market cap, easy. And I'll tell you why. If Bitcoin goes to like 55K at Christmas or 10th of January, or I don't freaking care, and then suddenly, you know, the whole ETF thing starts to happen as well with the Ethereum ETF thing, you know, everything can happen so freaking fast, and we don't need that much influx into the market for us to really, really, really go crazy again. And if you think about it, some of these other layer ones like Avalanche, Near, and all these had, I don't know, 20, 30, $40 billion valuations. Ridiculous shit. I've been to the NearCon, and I think there's NearCon right now in Lisbon or whatever. I was there at one in Lisbon.
It's here I am. I live in Lisbon, so it's going on.
No way. I just moved out of Lisbon. Sick. Okay, I didn't know.
You moved out you moved out?
No, I live in Dubai now, but I used to live in Lisbon.
Yeah, I live in Lisbon.
Yeah, it's sick. No, but I was just saying, like, I went there to NearCon, and it was still not like bull market, but it was still like they were still heavily funded. Ridiculous. The amount of shit that I've seen there, these guys had no idea what they're talking about. There was zero innovation. All they were doing was sweat coin, walk for a coin, and it was all mumbo jumbo, just all shit. And I'm just saying, like, we will have the same problems again. Like, there's zero chance human beings are not going to change. Like, the same crap is going to get giga pumped again, probably even worse, because now there's governments playing the game with us. We have people like Michael Saylor, and we're going to have many other little Michael Saylors joining him, doing the same playbook. So the buy pressure during this euphoria will just, in my opinion, become so ridiculous. And I've been speaking to a few people here in the Middle East as well. There is institutional buying going on right now, and also on a governmental level. Are these things public? No. Is it happening? 100%. And once the first, you know, we have El Salvador here and some, you know, made up country on the other side, it doesn't matter. These guys are like publicly saying, yeah, you know, we own Bitcoin, we hold Bitcoin, we're bullish on it. And then you have little places like Lugano or Zug in Switzerland, where they're very, very clearly saying, you know, you can pay your taxes with Bitcoin and all these things. But I am quite confident that after the ETF, and, you know, it's just going to snowball into a proper legitimized huge industry. And then pension funds are going to come in. There's just, people underestimate how much freaking cash there is to throw 1 or 2% into a new asset class with a very, very, very valid narrative. And another thing that should make you giga bullish, gold is about to break out of a fucking 107-year-old fucking trend line. So if gold guns for new all-time highs, you better believe Bitcoin is going to take or act as the faster horse and take us pretty much higher. So you guys are not freaking bullish enough, I tell you right now. And election year 2024, Trump is going to come back, pump the stock markets. It's ridiculous. And it's too crazy.
I want to add one more metric to that, which is, you mentioned about asset managers allocating even like 1% of the portfolios. But just to put that into perspective for people, like BlackRock managed $9 trillion. And the total crypto market cap is what, $1.3-1.4 trillion or something?
So Berkshire Hathaway has like what, $300 billion cash? Like, it's all exactly. It's numbers on the screen, exactly. It's mumbo jumbo. Okay, Grampy is not gonna join us.
I think I read the other day that the total number of assets, including like real estate and even private assets, is something like $400 trillion. So $400 trillion versus a $1.3 trillion. You get a little taste. Look, I agree with you. What this is where I temper it slightly. I haven't really seen like a massive pickup in like number of addresses. This feels more like everyone, and I don't know, because you've obviously, you saw a couple of cycles before this. I think we kind of slightly implicitly said this is going to be the third cycle. It's already begun. But like the previous two that you saw, this one feels more like everyone in crypto is like picking up on it early, and we haven't got the normie adoption yet. And we're still kind of waiting for that to happen, because you see like funding has gone very, very high in a bunch of vaults. You can tell people are just like piling into risk. And I still think there's some danger there. But yeah, I do agree with you that if the ETFs and if the halving does lead, and just like the general, you know, the world's going to shit, gold's going to go higher, Bitcoin will go higher because of that as well. I think if you do start to see number of addresses start to pick up meaningfully across the board, yeah, like you underestimate where alts go. I that's one thing I learned during the cycle we were in. It's just you should take profits on the way up, but you will 100%.
So ridiculously high.
No, I was looking at this Casper coin. I don't know if you've seen this one, like Casper, same as Injective. It's been one of the, like Casper, Injective, Solana, yeah. Chainlink have been the ones all moving. Because Casper's up like at 1,300%. I was like, oh, you know, this might be a bit toppy. And then it just doubled. I was just like, yeah. this thing could just go like to whatever level you fucking want.
If there's like from a trading head on perspective, if there's one thing I can tell new people in the space, please just avoid the red button at all costs. And I know you might think, no, but this is going to be a double top and here and there. Don't. Just don't try to do it for now. We're too early. They're still going to be, and you've seen it with a couple of coins like TRB on Binance, where they say the cartel, yeah. This shit went from $1 to 125, and everyone is just like, what is going on? I'm going to short this. Obviously, you know, it's up 30%, fifth consecutive day being up 30%. There's no proper news. It's a regular Chainlink competitor bullshit. What is going on? So some of these coins have such a small market cap that whales can generally just take you the fuck out over and over and over again. And again, if you understand macro, I mean, and it's funny because there's like two sides of the macro thing right now. I am in chats, as you said, like a little more keyboard monkey oriented, very rational, smart investors. And they're saying this, 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 and this can still happen. Risk on assets can absolutely get fucked and crypto will literally go back to, let's say, Bitcoin 20K. And there is merit to it. But if there's one thing I learned in previous cycles is the moment it looks the darkest and the moment everyone who is somewhat new to investing and whatever things like, no, because I just read that the interest rates are still going to continue to be, you know, when these guys start to kind of become the majority and, you know, the fundamental crypto people are very certain that we've bottomed out because of, you know, all the metrics that do matter to us. There's a new all-time high in hash rate, for example. And I do agree with you. We need to see a pickup in new addresses. But for example, hash rate is going through the absolute motherfucking roof. And I tell you why. Here in the UAE, they bought, I think, $700 million from Antminer and put the biggest mining operation in the UAE here for the Sheikh, who is accumulating 700,000, no, I'm joking, but who is accumulating serious amounts of coins per day and per hour and per week. And these are just off the market. So some of these bigger, very big people are extremely smart by just allocating in, without even like publicly buying, they just invest in hardware and just mine for themselves, right? And those are like the little things that a normal guy cannot know. Like, how would you know that some of the bigger governments are allocating a little towards crypto right now without telling anyone? And then, you know, there's, as I mentioned before, the Michael Saylor playbook, where companies will take Bitcoin back on their balance sheet as well. Of course, you have to be a little crazy CEO to do it. But, you know, if you kind of understand that stock, that I think there's a chance that stocks are kind of like just going to plateau a little, you know, and just stagnate for a while. And crypto as the industry as a whole is just this new shiny thing that you can easily pump from 1 trillion to, let's say, I think if I had to put a guess on it, we're going to top at like between six and eight trillion US dollars. And keep in mind, you know, all the altcoins that will get launched, they will just inflate the overall market cap substantially. But I do think that we will, with very, very far from an overall macro crypto top when it comes to market cap. I think during the dot-com bubble, all the dot-com stocks combined were worth close to a trillion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was something like that, I think.
And keep in mind, like, what, 30 or 40% of all US dollar in circulation was printed in the past 2 years? And you're telling me such an interesting new sector with such innovation going on cannot, you know, get to the multiples of what the dot-com techie stocks combined had as value? Come on, I feel like we're smart enough to prop these rookie numbers up a little and get to at least 4, 5, 6, 7 trillion US dollars at the peak of the next bubble.
Yeah, I think people forget, like, even like last cycle, Doge got to an $80 billion market cap.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, and like I remember looking at altcoins, like the idea of something having $1 billion market cap, whether it's like a meme coin or an altcoin, whatever, it was just like, yeah, there's tons of things that are like $1 billion market caps, and that we just like
at that point you look for stuff like under, let's say, 250 300, oh, it's a small cap, it's only $75 yeah. million dollars right now. You know, you invest in stuff like, I don't know, Unibot was what, $30 million a couple of weeks 2 weeks ago when they got hacked, or $20 million. That shit is going to go to $1 billion. I am so certain. So I do believe that we vastly underestimate how wild it's going to get once Bitcoin breaks its all-time high. So yeah, I don't know, but we shall see.
We're all pre-rich, basically.
We're giga pre-rich, as they like to say. We're giga pre-rich, ridiculously pre-rich.
So in the time that you've been trading, what are some of like the mistakes that you think you've made, and how would you correct them? Like, I don't know, whether it's like big losses or selling stuff too early, whatever it is.
During my first cycle in the 17 one. We had 17, we had 21, and now we're 23. During the 17 one, I did make substantial amounts with shitcoins as usual, and then I put all my Bitcoin in one basket. It's a funny story. I've told it a few times, so my followers will know it. There was an exchange launching out of Estonia in Europe, a country called Mothership, and they were fully backed by the government with e-residency, and, you know, they're the new cool kids on the block. And it was the exact same time that Binance had their ICO. And I had, I think, if I'm not mistaken, like 128, 125 Bitcoin accumulated after like a year and a half of trading. So, and then again, you know, Bitcoin went to 20K. So in theory, I was the G. I was fucking, what, 20 years old and I had $2 million on paper. Come on, not bad, right? So what does the golden boy do? The golden boy puts all his all his eggs in one basket. And it was funny, again, the Binance ICO and the Mothership ICO were very, I think, maybe a week apart, and I could have participated in both. And I planned on putting 50 Bitcoin into one and 50 Bitcoin into the other. And then I was speaking to my dad, who was a Swiss banker, and he was like, brother, you know, and he did say brother, he said, son, you know, I would always go for the ones that are kind of like, you know, tied with regulation. And it is already, this whole industry is pretty Wild West cowboy style. Take the Estonian ones and just, you know, don't put all the Bitcoin in it. But, you know, just I would trust these guys more, because he did like a little traditional boomer background check on all the Binance dudes. And then, you know, we just came to the conclusion, okay, we're not going to invest in the Binance ICO. We're going to invest 50 Bitcoin into Mothership. And then, you know, it kind of like, it took a month to launch. And at one point I was market making the coin on Cryptopia, because I was speaking to the CEO and he was like, yeah, a couple more weeks and we're ready to launch. By the time, like 2 or 3 months after the initial, when I found the project, I put 125 Bitcoin in it. And 6 months later, they kind of like declared that there was no exchange. So I, unfortunately, in mid 2018, I had to accept that I have to go back to university and that my $2 million, unfortunately, are in a shitcoin. But I just want to say, like, these things happen every cycle to many, 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 many people. So you have conviction in a coin, but you're very, very much biased. And at one point, you just fail to understand that other people who look at the project in the first place, they're like, yeah, I don't know, it looks okay. But you're just so obsessed with the idea that this is going to be the next Binance, in my case, that you're kind of like not understand that these guys, they were literally mega Yokel team. They were like, probably if the three of us start an exchange today, we would do better than these guys. But I was just, first of all, of course, I was young as well, but I was just so obsessed with them somewhat reaching or working as good as Binance, and obviously they didn't. So first cycle lost 150 or 130 Bitcoin with just going all in on a coin that, you know.
Wait, so you were gonna put in basically almost $1 million into the Binance ICO.
Oh yeah, no, let's not talk about that.
Your dad was like, nah, it's Estonian guys.
On Bitcoin against, yeah, it's ridiculous. But then again, I always say everything happens for a reason. If you give a 19-year-old dude 150 Bitcoin in a Binance ICO,
you might be dead by now.
7,000 Bitcoin 6 months later, you know, it's ridiculous.
This Estonia thing, did you hear about this guy? This guy who owns like the biggest bank in Estonia. Did you see the story yesterday? So no, they found out this guy who owns the biggest bank in Estonia owns $470 million of ETH, but he lost his keys. So he's this whale. You not see
this? Is this the CEO of that exchange? I'm going to find that, dude.
Estonia ETH whale. Just type it in. LHV Bank has $470 million worth of Ethereum, but has lost his private key. Yeah, he just owns like one of the biggest banks in Estonia and just lost 250,000 Ethereum.
Well, it's off the market, bullish as fuck.
That's all. Yeah, exactly.
Or it's just a massive psyop. Wow, that's wild. That's a pretty
big, and then I would say the next cycles, you know, just classic leverage trades without having proper stop loss, without having proper risk management. I once woke up in Tulum on a beach, like in the hangover, and then I got back to the cabana and I was like, okay, what is going on? Because all my friends were like, yo, did you have a stop loss? And I, you know, go half naked with one eye open. I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, you know, some, those were the days where the market at times, like Bitcoin just flushes 50% and alts minus 22-25%. And I obviously had some longs open, got back to the cabana, and saw that like a 600k account is unfortunately not there anymore. So yeah, I would say my biggest setbacks over the past like 2-3 years have always been margin trading related, of me just being lazy. So that's something, when it's time to go, like for example, let's say the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, I am not advising anyone to do margin trading. It's a very, very, very high risks, you know, financial vehicle. But when the time is right and you kind of just, everyone always says, you know, you have to obviously control your emotions and everything, but if you just have a playbook of you go very high leverage, let's say, and when I say very high, let's say times 10 leverage, and the whole times 50 times 100 leverage is bullshit. You know, you get taken out with 1-3% moves. That's shit. But if you really want to get into margin trading during times of high volatility, and you know, just where we really, really trend hard, like again, like previous weeks, you can do it. And the thing is just you have to trail your stop losses just very, very, very tightly, because the moment the momentum kind of fades, you will see these abrupt, crazy, you know, just liquidity wicks where they just take out everyone who's over leveraged. But then again, myself, I've been on the Bybit leaderboard now for the past, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, the top 25 or something. So, you know, it is still something that I do when the time is right. But I am very, very, very certain that literally 99% of the people listening will do much, much, much better being early in an ecosystem, for example. You know, it doesn't matter if it's going to be Injective or Monad or whatever it might be, because they most of these will have their internal little shitcoin seasons. So if I had to give someone advice for sleep, not to have too many sleepless nights and to decrease the risk of waking up with being at zero, I would advice to kind of stay away from leverage. But it is still a way where I've seen multiple times people turn $2,000 to multiple millions in a matter of a year.
Seems like a good
market is slowly being sent as we on this show, by the way. It feels
it's
as though
it's getting sent
back about, well, 1900.
We're back for 900. Bitcoin's heading towards 36k again. You know, it just feels as
this is funny because for the past like 3 or 4 days I've been heavily Ethereum long. And every time when I see Rookie or the boys, they're like, yo, bro, I was starting to send voice notes. I was like, yo, this piece of shit technology, this is not going to start to send.
Sounds like our group chats, man. It's insane.
Bro, and I know for a fact, you know, and that's also a mistake I've been doing.
Ethereum is for Europe, now, that's what I've decided.
Ethereum is going to rip like a $100 candle, right? I kid you not. So what usually after holding for such a long period, like a long period for the past, let's say 5 days, waiting for this breakout and bears kept on, you know, taking that 1900 level down, taking it down. Now when it breaks, I think it will result in a serious candle. So Rookie was making fun of me. I was like, you know, I have a pretty big position. I was like, I'm going to set my first TP at 1920. And he just looks at me and he's like, brother, for the past 6 days, you've been crying on my phone with a $6 million position, and now you want to fucking take profit at a 1.5% move? Yeah, you deserve to fucking get wrecked again. I was like, okay, fair. He's like, we're going to have a $100 candle. And, you know, when it's risk on, there's no one better than Rookie. And I've seen it now in the past 3 weeks again. This man just takes his foot through the gas. Fuck it. Either you have it or you don't, and this man just got the touch when it's risk on. So I trust him, and I took my TPs from 1920 away, put the first one at 1955. So at least we're making somewhat serious shekels after being after calling the suicide hotline for the past 3 days. So that's maybe worth it.
Fingers crossed, man. We're all in the trade, so we're just out here like hoping it happens, but it's frustrating. Yeah, like you feel like
the more
coming
people they stop out, the better, right? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Market makers need to catch as many people off guard as they can, you know. And it has always been this way, and it will always be this way. Liquidity is king, so you know I think we're gonna rip a little higher than most people think.
Yeah, it feels like one of those times though where the only time we really rally is when we do that little dip to take out all the levered longs, and then we just fucking send. And that's why keeps on happening. Like we keep on dipping, and then we just send. We dip, take out all the levered longs, send. Feels like we had that yesterday, but then didn't really follow through. And then today, I guess we've had it a little bit the same. So yeah, maybe.
I was sweating a little yesterday when it was dipping, and then you know you can just. And it sounds ridiculous, but I've been watching order books for, I don't know, 10 years now. And sometimes you can just sense, okay, the boys got my back. So I'm just saying, bro, the bulls are in control, Rookie. We're good. And 10 minutes later, we go lower. Okay, wrong alarm. No, but like, seriously, I do think bulls are in control right now. So we should be fine.
Good. Well, we're coming up towards the end of the time. So I just want to ask you like a couple of the closing questions we usually have on the show. And then we'll do... We'll do the last giveaway code, and we'll do the Rollbit spin as well. Someone won a Bored Ape last week, so
that's nuts. That
yeah, pretty mental. Yeah, so we've definitely got some good prizes. Right. Yeah, pretty cool. But yeah, well, I'll ask you the closing question we ask all our guests, which is, and I know you've touched on some of this already, but what is your best advice on how to not get wrecked? How do you avoid getting wrecked in this market?
I mean, it obviously depends on your risk appetite. It obviously depends on who you are, what you, and people always ask me, like from 50-year-old people to 12-year-old guys hitting me up on Instagram saying, yo, I heard you're the crypto OG. And I'm just like, there is no generic answer to this. But what I can tell you is hustle and hard work and dedication will always pay off. It does not matter if you're a boxer, if you're a trader, or, you know, if you're the guy cleaning the toilet. It does not matter. As long as you have a specific goal in mind and every day you do a little something to work towards that goal, you should be fine. And it's 100% reasonably and to apply it to crypto. Because if you are really, 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 sorry, if you're really broke right now, or you're super young, you're a student, whatever it might be, and you don't have the capital to somehow, you know, invest relevant sums into the industry, you still have time and you still have energy. And farming airdrops, for example, being in every Discord there is, of every new chain there is, will pay off extremely handsomely. So if you don't have the advantage of capital on your side right now, take your energy, take your intellectual capabilities. You know, there is many, many, many ways to play this. And then again, you know, just stay involved and work hard. And I'm very, very certain there will be a day where you look back at where you're right now and you'll be like, wish I just worked a little harder, wish I just stayed a little more committed during this crucial period of time in the crypto industry. And I think right now is that time. So stay relentless, my friends.
Awesome. That's great advice, I think. Well, Lipman, thanks a lot for coming on. It's been a pleasure having you. It's been a good show.
Thank you very much for having me.
To hanging out in Dubai in a couple of weeks, but yeah, feel free to stick around. We're going to do these give away the code and then do the code, which is always fun.
rookie just giga so
peak rookie was like September 2021, like holy shit.
Oh, he man. Was like, mental the moment day. He whispered a chart or whatever, it just like the greenest window goes through the screen, and that shit is going to come back. Rookie is going to be an extremely relevant.
That guy's my hero.
And in real life, he's the best. He's the most genuine, kind guy I've met in a long, long time. So I root for him all the way.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, so second code to give away is 562 Lord. 562 Lord. And now we're going to do the Twitter picker to pick who is going to be ready for the loot box bins. Let's add this. Can we, if you can.
I think Jonathan's done it.
So we're going to have, changing a couple of things this week. We're going to have minimum number of followers, which is 50, minimum tweet count, which is 50. Hopefully that will get rid of some of the bots if anyone had any worries there. So let's run this. Oh, wait, I'm going to pick 5. Rod, let me try that again.
Are you doing it? Not him.
I'm doing it just because we wanted to set the minimum thing. Need to
bit. All right. Page.
Let's try that again.
Yeah, you guys have crazy engagement on the tweet. Oh, that's
yeah,
cool. Dude, we've given out like 500 grand of prizes in the last year. Like, it's insane. Like,
I mean,
it's really
good. Good.
So, somebody's paying for it.
Funnily enough, I'm about to release a research paper on Robit. So,
oh, no way.
Oh, really?
Bullish.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, mega bullish on Robit.
That's what I'm talking about.
Don't clip that. Hey, yo.
Top 25 RLB holder right here.
Here we go.
Ooh, are we going to get this to happen, or is it going to have to be requested done?
No. Here we go. It's happening. All right. So don't request if we don't call out your name, because it just makes this whole thing much slower. If we do call out your name, please request. So Lickle Stefan, Bia Matias, and Code NFT. John, if you could make us co-host on the space as well, then we can see the requests.
Well, maybe he can do it.
Nickel, Stefan, Bia Matias, and Code NFT.
Is John there? This is a tough one.
see if we can get him. I feel like
he said he invited us.
We don't see the co-host. I don't see the co-host invite.
Maybe I'll leave. I'll leave and come back and see if I can do it.
Okay, cool. I thought we did really well to get through this whole show without any technical difficulties.
Right, I was very much impressed by all.
Usually you fuck up straight away, and it was pretty.
Oh, bro, half of the time on my streams, I don't even know where the fucking. I just bought a camera, so this is we're back. We're getting equipped now. No microphone yet, though. One step by step.
Does John want to let them up if we can't get this done?
Yeah, I guess so.
Says I'm a speaker.
Yeah.
Not a co-host, yeah.
I think you're... No, I just see as a speaker.
Yeah.
He says there's only one request. So what do we do here? Let's see. Let's do a little profile search on these guys, and then we'll spin for them. And just make
you think?
I don't know what else we can do. Okay, Lickle Stefan seems like a real person. 74 followers, already follows me. Bia Matias.
Real person. Oh,
joined October 2010, probably real.
All right, probably real. We'll give him.
Code NFT.
Code NFT seems like a good handle. That guy's probably real.
Yeah, he says his location is IPFS, so he's probably legit.
Love it. Top all top. Right, we'll go for those three, and then we can contact them. Okay, so yeah, should I share my screen then? Okay. Here we go then. These guys are getting wild. Oh, wow. So, want a rec guy? Gordon Gonup bought one today. Congratulations. Join the group. Let me just do that again. Why is that hotel Shinjuku so expensive? Here we go.
Rare.
Number two. Oh, want some RLB? Unclear how much that is. I think that's because something traded. We'll go again.
And then this spins for Code NFT.
And an OSF edition. So a less aggressive week this week. But still,
Trading did not bring the good luck.
No, unfortunately not.
He's bullish at the top. The win is really
practiced. I think they're saying we can do the art. We can do the spin again for the second person because that was a.
All right. All right. So we had two OSF editions and one.
Yeah.
Winner so far. Let's see what this is going to be. Oh, they need to add me again. I think they need to. They're going to add some balance, so give me a minute.
They're about to credit you in a second, yeah.
There we go. Oh!
Oh, another rec guy.
Right, two rec guys. Two rec guys and a external NFT. So we got, this is decent. Rec guy floors up as well. So about $5,000 worth of prizes there. That's another good haul. Not bull market enough, though. We need to do this again. Like, we need to have you on more, man. We need to call in rookie and trading lord.
We call in. I take rookie next time to my apartment, and then we run it together.
definitely. I'm ready for the big bull market party in Dubai in a couple of weeks. So, all right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks to Trading Lord for coming on. And
my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Episode of Ret Radio. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
See ya.
Thank you. Bye bye.